The objective of the MGRS, as we affectionately refer to it, was to build a set of growth curves for children below 5 years of age that would, we hoped, and it has been, adopted as a new international growth standard for assessing the growth and nutritional status of both populations and children. Now, I'm going to try in 15 minutes to summarize the background and rationale for something that began around 1990. Had anyone told me 18 years ago almost that in fact I would have, it was going to take this long, I probably would not have undertaken the task. It began with a WHO working group on infant growth. Some of the seminal work really that motivated the rest of the effort, I'll review with you shortly. But it has proceeded to the present, where we've begun a series of training exercises throughout the world. I'm very pleased to say that to date, the new standards have been adopted in India. Are very close to being adopted in the UK, throughout most of Europe, Latin America, and much of Africa. But a rather complicated process from design on through implementation. Now, the rationale for the development of the new International Growth Reference Standard was that, in fact, the previous NCHS-WHO reference, that was the one developed in 1977 by both NCHS and WHO, was inappropriate in two ways. First, in terms of its assessment of individual infants, it interfered with the sound nutritional management of breastfed infants, thus increasing the risk of morbidity and mortality, primarily in the developing world. And I'll give you illustrate how that occurred in just a bit, and also for populations, because we felt after a series of analyses that it provided inaccurate community estimates of both under and over nutrition. Now, this was the key slide for many of us. What we did was to take collected information from a number of studies around the world that were very well controlled, studies that were done primarily in North America and in Northern Europe, and plotted the growth of breastfed children that lived in optimal environments against the old NCHS-WHO reference. And what we observed was what is depicted on that slide, and that is the appearance of growth faltering beginning around the third month, regardless of whether one used weight for age, length for age, or weight for length as an indicator of anthropometric well-being. Now, we could either have surmised from that that breastfeeding became inadequate after the third month, or that in fact the reference that we were using to compare this growth was incorrect. And for reasons that we don't have much time to go over, we obviously decided that in fact it was not the children that were, or the mothers that were failing, but in fact it was the reference that was depicting inappropriate growth for children in at least for the first year of life. Now, not being satisfied though, we took a separate group of breastfed infants that had been studied by WHO and compared their growth with both the breastfed infants that were depicted on that previous slide and the old NCHS standard, or reference rather. And what you see there in the triangles is that that second group of breastfed infants pretty much behaved as the first group that we had studied. But if we use the breastfed infants as the reference point or the reference group, then after an initial decrease, which we think probably depicts coming down to the norm, regression to the mean. Thank you. There we go. And a plateau. So they began to track pretty much where you'd expected them to be after that point. Well, this was true not only for breastfed infants. If we looked at the Z-scores of formula-fed infants, the old NCHS-WHO reference also appeared to depict failing growth in kids that were doing very well. And if you use the breastfed infant as a reference, then they seem to be gaining relative to that group in an accelerated manner. So the patterns of growth we felt that were being depicted on that old standard were apparently not adequate either for formula-fed infants or for breastfed infants. And when we looked at the variability of the old reference, and compared that to the variability of that breastfed group that I showed you in the initial slide, then there too we saw very different estimates for normal variability of growth. The consequence of, for that is that if we took weight for age, length for age, or weight for length, and compared the percent of infants of this breastfed infant data set, and compared them in terms of the proportion that were above two standard deviations, then you saw very different estimates if you use the old NCHS, WHO, or the breastfed data set as the basis for that comparison. If one looked at the minus two standard deviations, you in effect saw the same thing, very different estimates. And it was these slides and others that suggested to us that in fact even estimates of community levels of over or under nutrition were going to be significantly misestimated by the old reference. There was an effort to correct for some of that in the new CDC 2000. What I've done here is to take, again, that basic breastfed data set that we used in that first slide and compared their growth vis-a-vis the new CDC 2000 and the old NCHS 2000. And as you can see, there were some differences in the patterns, but after the third month, pretty much the CDC 2000 and the NCHS behaved pretty much the same. So what was our solution to this? Well, we decided that perhaps we ought to abandon the old way of developing standards, and that was to try to assess the growth or to describe the growth of an existing representative population that in theory was healthy, health being defined as the absence of disease. Rather, we thought that it might be best to really abandon the idea of a reference, migrate over to the idea of a standard being something that, in fact, you can make a value judgment upon, a reference being fairly neutral. It's bigger, smaller, but not necessarily better or worse. Well, if we were going to be using a reference as a standard in making value judgments based on it, then we thought the best thing to do would be to try to define optimal nutrition. We did that by basing the new reference on children that were predominantly or exclusively breastfed at least for 4 months, with complementary feeding not introduced until after 6 months, and breastfeeding continuing for at least 1 year. And that we would try to assess appropriate complementary feeding, that we define optimal environments in the sense of no microbiological contamination or minimal in their environment, no smoking by mothers and others in the household, and optimal health care in terms of immunization and pediatric outcomes. And so we were going to define health not on the basis of the absence of disease or the absence of pathology, but by populations that indeed were characterized by operational definitions of optimal nutrition, optimal environment, and optimal health care, resulting, we would think, in optimal growth. So that the WHO multicenter growth reference study was designed to describe how children should grow, regardless of time or place, as opposed to describe how children grew at a particular time or a particular place. So it was a fundamental shift away from the way references had been developed. The site selection process, we also decided that in addition to the prescriptive nature of the effort, that we would also base it on an international sample of children. Now, In all frankness, we could have done this study in any single site because it was possible only if growth, regardless of sites, were similar. But we felt that for advocacy purposes, it was going to be of paramount importance that we develop an international sample. And so we selected Ghana, India, and Oman, and we did surveys to identify the socioeconomic characteristics of individuals whose growth was unlikely to be influenced by environmental constraints. In Brazil, Norway, and the US were the other three sites, and in those sites, we could use pre-existing survey data to make those judgments. The construction of the growth curves also were fundamentally different from the way the NCHS WHO curves had been developed in the past. We looked at over 30 existing methods, including various distributions and smoothing techniques. We went through a rather elaborate process for selection of software packages that were flexible enough to allow comparative testing. And there was quite a rigorous effort together with literally hundreds of reviewers trying to get to make sure that, in fact, the most up-to-date analytical techniques were applied and accessible to the study. We also did a motor development assessment as part of this, and in the question and answer period, we can describe why. So the strategy, therefore, was for promoting healthy growth and development, that indeed we would try to develop a sound international growth reference. That was more or less the easy part. I can perhaps say that with a bit of a smile. We now have moved to the second phase, which is going to be much more difficult, and that is the tool is only as good as its uses. And so it doesn't benefit a child to be measured, obviously, unless it's linked to some decision making. And we're now in the process of the training on its appropriate uses and interpretation, and eventually optimal clinical home and public health interventions. Now, no matter how hard we try in coming up with optimal, I threw this slide in because it's quite instructive. Something's just not right. Our air is clean. Our water is pure. We all get plenty of exercise. Everything we eat is organic and free range, and yet nobody lives past 30. Well, the optimal definitions were based on what we know today, but they're well enough described that if they need to be changed in the future, in fact, one can go and alter the definitions of optimal. Key to all of this was, can you really pool all of these six sites? Can you come up with a single international reference? It was an enormous bone of contention for many of us in the early phases. There was some concern that, in fact, it was just not possible that one could select a group of Indians, Ghanaians, Omanis, Brazilians, Americans, etc., and have everyone perform more or less the same. Well, this illustrates how successful we are, or we were rather, with a very rigorous protocol, and I just don't have time enough to go through it with you. But that shows you, at least for length, from birth to 24 months, for each of the six sites, and quite literally, they're over one another. And of all the slides, this is perhaps the most impressive for me, because it demonstrates that if, in fact, you invest in children, that they can achieve very much the same growth performance, at least for the first 5 years of life. And so that if, in fact, there are a disproportionate number of children that are stunted in any population, it's not because they're Indian or because they're Omani or because they're X. Primarily, it's because we're not investing in providing them with optimal nutrition, the optimal environment, and optimal care. This is perhaps even a more impressive slide, because what it does is to break out the growth, at least the length of these infants, in terms of percentiles from the third to the 97th. The solid lines are the modeled growth, and the various dots on those lines represent the empirical data, so that you can see the data were not tortured very much in order to produce the growth curves. The empirical data fit that the rest of it very, very well. Well, we went back and took a look at that first, that breastfed data set that I showed you at the very beginning, and plotted their growth against the new WHO standard and the CDC 2000, the CDC 2000 being the green, the WHO standard being the blue. And there again, in the early first 2-3 months of life, you see a decrease in Z-scores, most likely a regression towards the mean phenomena, since these children primarily were large at birth, and then pretty much just stabilizing at around zero, which is what you'd expect for a population of 200 infants. With the CDC 2000 showing a deviation upwards, and then the steady decline that we saw in the NCHS WHO reference from 77. So we will leave you then with four basic messages. The first was that the MGR's design was highly relevant, we think, to contemporary aspirations related to improving the human condition, that we can raise the bar on all of us, that if you have a disproportionate number of stunted kids, it's because of us. It's not because of genetics. The second, the MGRS anticipated outcomes are of significance to a broad range of economic development and health goals. We think that having good stature or length data permits us then to follow children much more adequately in terms of plotting our own improvements in public health. Didn't show you any data to back up the third bullet, that the MGRS was implemented very well, other than how well the fitted data fit the empirical data, and that the MGRS, in my view, was a good example of what's achievable when the UN agencies, bilateral groups, NGOs all collaborate very effectively. So I'd like to acknowledge all the parents and children who participated. We have about 800 that went into the sample, but they were at least the longitudinal piece, but there were over almost 15,000 kids that participated in the study. The principal investigators and their staffs in all six sites. It was a very demanding protocol, 22 home visits. We were able to follow approximately 83% of all the kids that were enrolled. It was quite a an incredible undertaking by them. Mercedes de Onís and the coordinating center in Geneva dealt with this on a day-to-day basis. The rest of us on the steering committee, Larry, myself, dealt with it almost on a weekly basis, but certainly not as intensively as they did. The governments and non-government organizations that supported the work, the implementation phase now is being funded primarily by the Gates Foundation. We're very grateful to them for their support and the need for your support and assistance in the efficacious implementation of the new standards, both domestically and internationally. So with that very quick overview and rationale, thank you very much for the opportunity to share that with you.
And we have time for one